Welcome to the Life Notes Podcast, where we explore God and grace in our everyday lives. This is the seventh in the series of Life Notes titled A Contemplative Life. This episode is Dying Before We Die, Part 1. The biblical message is from Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Many people fear death more than anything else, including spiders and snakes. This is understandable, since the life we perceive through our senses is the only life we know with any certainty. When a loved one dies, our senses no longer receive evidence of their presence, so we assume they either no longer exist, or they have traveled somewhere far away from us. We do not know. And not knowing makes us uneasy. When someone dies, he or she is just gone, leaving us with grief and questions. We feel sorrow for those who die young and celebrate those who live into their 90s and beyond, as if our physical existence were more about the quantity of days than the quality. We cannot get a logical handle on death because it defies logic, and that makes us squirm. Christian mystics talk about death regularly. So did Jesus. Scientific, irreversible physical death occurs once for us, and most of us go to great lengths to deny its nearness and delay its arrival. We are not anxious to come to the end of the only life we know, and that is exactly the problem with the education most of us receive. The life we know is but a small part of the life we are. The Apostle Paul names two aspects of our existence. In his letter to the Romans, as well as in other writings in the New Testament, Paul distinguishes between the flesh and the spirit, making clear that both were present then and there, just as they continue to be present here and now. The word flesh is Paul's code word for our ego's interpretation of the concrete world of the senses, what we see, hear, smell, touch, and taste. It is easy to read Paul in a way that assumes he condemns the world of the flesh, but that understanding is incomplete. Paul wants us to know that our ego's view of the world of the flesh is only one part of our life. It is the impermanent, temporary part. It is also a beautiful, seductive part that can tempt us into actions that are inconsistent with and antagonistic to the larger, immortal, and invisible part of life, which is the realm of the spirit. Paul writes, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die." This is the death we know is coming, the death of the flesh. If we identify solely with our ego's experience of the flesh, our physical death will be the end of the little we know ourselves to be. On the other hand, according to Paul, if we live by the Spirit, we will live. This poses a difficult dilemma to reconcile, the tangible pull of the flesh versus the ethereal speculation about the Spirit. In fact, the dilemma cannot be reconciled. It can only be accepted, embraced, and lived. Fortunately for us, dying to the flesh does not have to mean physical death. Paul encourages us to live in the flesh, tempered with the knowledge and perspective of the Spirit. Our physical existence is a tangible manifestation of the Spirit, so the two are not separate. The flesh is not evil, nor is our ego, but they can be misleading and the cause of much unnecessary pain and suffering, both to ourselves and to others. Paul says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Dying before we die does not mean ending our life in the flesh before its time. Rather, it means letting go of our attachment to and identification with that which has no permanence. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's Matthew 6:21. Dying before we die is resetting our priorities, being intentional about what we choose to treasure, and saying goodbye to that which serves no eternal purpose. In this way, our lives are made whole, body and spirit as one, and we become children of God. Both body and spirit are beautiful, and together create the fullness we long to experience in this phase of life. A contemplative life seeks an inclusive balance between the flesh and the spirit, experiencing and enjoying the pleasures of the flesh, within the context and under the guidance of the Spirit. You have been listening to the Life Notes Podcast. I invite you to my website, contemplatinggrace.com, where you will find books, music, and archives of my Life Notes and podcasts. Until next time, this is Greg Hildenbrand wishing you peace and every good.